Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Joining me today are the wonderful folks from Sage's Army. Carmen Capozzi is the founder and Janice Olson is the director of operations. Carmen, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And also, I have to thank Janice for joining us too. I know you're very busy, so thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Wonderful. Well, I'm excited to talk to you both. I know you have a lot going on with Sage's Army. So we'll start with you, Janice. For people who might not know anything about what Sage's Army does now, why don't you tell us a little bit about your office structure and how you're helping people?
Sure. So Sage's Army is a local recovery community organization. We help people that struggle, that use drugs or use alcohol. We help guide them in the recovery process. Right now we have 11 staff. Seven of those staff are certified recovery specialists. So if an individual were to walk into our center here in Greensburg, we have a location in Irwin, but we do most of our bulk work out of Greensburg. So if someone were to walk in, they would meet with our certified recovery specialist supervisor, who would complete like an assessment on them, get to know them, get to see where they're at in their recovery pathway, what they need, and they would assign them the appropriate coach to help guide them in the recovery process. And we'd work on a recovery plan and connecting them to their needed resources to help hit their goals and recovery goals and up their recovery capital. We also do this for family members as well. So any family member that loves someone that uses drugs or struggles with alcohol, we will work with them too. We would do the same process. They'd work with a certified recovery coach, the family recovery coach, and we would help them in their recovery process because we recognize Sage's Army that this is a family problem. This is not just the person that's struggling with substance use. So we want to help them navigate their process and how they can recover and still love the person that they are struggling with drugs or alcohol. We also, between doing that, we also run meetings. So Sage's Army hosts, our CRS staff hosts about 13 meetings a week. We, whether it's all recovery, smart recovery meetings, which are cognitive behavior therapy meetings, it's our family group meeting, it's a meditation meeting. We host a variety of different things, outdoor rec nights right now we're doing at Twin Lakes Park twice a month. We, Sage's Army staff host that. And then we also allow NA, AA, you know, the 12-step fellowships, Gamblers Anonymous to utilize our space as well. So we have a round of meetings that go around pretty frequently every day. We have at least two or three meetings being run, whether it's us or another organization utilizing our space. We host a lot of trainings and education groups at the center too, that, you know, other people working in the substance use field or human resources field can come and attend a training and for our staff and for the community. We do a lot of advocacy. We do a lot of prevention. Schools are able to go on our website and, you know, fill out a template and say, hey, we want Sage's Army to come give us a presentation at our school, in the middle school, and we will go do that. Carmen is usually the individual that does that, but we do a lot of different things. Like, we're going to be going to speak to some prisons here soon. We attend a lot of different community events as well. So we will go to different community events. We do street outreach. So once a month, we pick an area in Westmoreland County and we will target different businesses and different people walking the streets to let them know, you know, hey, do you need any resources? Are you struggling with homelessness? Are you struggling with substance use? Or do you need Narcan? Everybody should be equipped with Narcan. Every business should have it because addiction is everywhere. And there's not one organization or somewhere that's not been affected. So we try to equip that every business in Westmoreland County that we encounter, if willing, to receive Narcan. So we do that. Also right now, Sage's Army is working with Stage AE, that we're providing a safe sober section at Stage AE in Pittsburgh. So we are choosing, like, I think it's like about 12 concerts, and our CRS staff will be providing a table in a sober area for individuals that just still want to go and enjoy the venue and, you know, listen to a concert and not have to feel like they can't attend because of the drinking vibe that's there, that we're there to do that. So yeah, Sage's Army does a little bit of everything. You think we can do it, we'll do it. And if someone were to reach out, hey, what are you got, like, we need you, we would try to fill that gap. That's what Sage's Army tries to do, is fill the gap of needed recovery resources, educate, advocacy, prevention, and all those areas.
Amazing what you've been able to do. And for those of you, Carmen, who may be at home and don't know what the personal story is behind this, I don't know how they couldn't possibly know by now. You've been so public about it, but it's your own personal pain that really created this drive to create such a resource. So why don't you tell us about your son and what happened?
All right. So Sage was 20. On March 5th, 2012, we lost Sage to an overdose. Or not March 12th, March 5th, I'm sorry. We lost him to an overdose of heroin. It was from heroin. And, you know, for us, we weren't educated in how to help. The education for the family piece was very, very slim. You know, Sage was a talented musician, an amazing golfer, you know, high school, baseball, you know, sports, all that stuff. And then, you know, one day we have this this problem, and we find out, you know, it started with pills and then it went on to heroin. We didn't know how to walk through this. We weren't educated. So, you know, it blows my mind, because the way I look at it is this is the only disease that we tell people to kick their loved ones out. You know, we don't do that with anything else. We don't do that with diabetes. If somebody has a relapse, you know, because of sugar, we don't kick them out. We have a recovery plan. And that's kind of what Sage's Army developed into. Like, we help people with a recovery plan. But to get back to what you were asking, so we found out when Sage was about 17, we've seen, you know, it surfaced. So we had 3 years with him struggling with his problem. And Sage overdosed three times. The first time he overdosed, and the EMTs hit him with Narcan, and they called my wife, and they said, you know, when they hit him with Narcan and he came to, the first thing out of his mouth was call my mom, because he was scared. And when I got to the hospital that night, the doctor scolded me and told me I better get this boy some help, and walked away. And I'm like, where do we do? Where do we go? And so my wife Googled, and we found Gateway Rehab, and our journey began. You know, there was no information handed to us that, you know, could possibly guide us into helping. Where do we go for this? So that was the first time. And Sage went into rehab and he did well. And we thought, okay, he's got this, you know, we don't know. And then he relapsed. And I did what the professional said, and I kicked him out. And 3 days later, he called me and said, Dad, can I come home? And I said, you know the rules, bud, no drugs, no druggy lifestyle in my house. I didn't know what else to do. And he said, I just want to come home. So he came home, and I was at my table, my dining room table, doing a bid for work. And he walked in and he went straight to the kitchen where his stepmother was. And I didn't hear anything. So I walked in and they were holding each other and crying. I thought, oh man, something's up. So I walked back to the table and sat down, and my wife came out and said, Carmen, Sage wants to tell you something. Please don't flip out. Because the only way I knew how to handle this was, it created a storm in our home. And he said, Dad, it took him a minute because, Dad, I relapsed. And he goes, I overdosed. A girl pulled me out of the car I was in, and she breathed for me and called 911. And they hit me with Narcan. And that was the second time I heard of Narcan. And he said to me, Dad, I'm scared. He goes, I came to a door with a light and I didn't go through it. That's what he told me. I didn't know how to help my son. And I knew that day I had to walk this out. I had to figure this out. So we got him back into rehab and he did really good. And he worked for me. He was doing really good. But then, it was always calling and, working a program. What does that program look like? Going to meetings. Sage got very involved in church. He, at 17, he got saved. Man, it's still hard talking about
No,
this.
I know it's very hard and it's very tough, but it made you realize that there was a gap in
There was a
services,
gap.
didn't it? And that's what you've been trying to do is to close the gap all of this
Yeah.
time. And so can you tell us a little bit about you worked hard to get some funding for this, didn't you?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Very hard. We didn't know how to fund it. We were what, 9 years without funding, just volunteers. And then I finally went to our state senator, Senator Ward, and asked for help. And she went, we went together to talk to the Department of Drug and Alcohol. And we sat down and we had a business plan. I had one written, and it was for recovery community organization, which what we are today. And DDAP said to me, hang in there, Carmen, we got some things that we're working on, some grant possibilities. And yeah, we got our first grant. It was $600,000, and it was go time. It was like all of a sudden, I had to start hiring people, and it got real. It's like now we are a legitimate organization, hiring staff, and it elevated us. It took us to another level. Today we help design people's recovery. What are they willing to do? The family members. I'm very passionate about the family members because that was my walk. And we help families navigate the storm. What is it that they, what does their loved one's recovery path look like? Are they included in that? And if they're not, how do we get them on their own recovery path? So, yeah, so today we do a lot of grant writing, which it's very tedious, time consuming. It's very difficult. We're also looking at foundation dollars, how to navigate that. I'll be honest with you, fundraising for drug and alcohol is not easy. And I it's very stigmatized. We can raise money for a animal shelter, but when you raise money for drugs and alcohol, it's not that easy. Not a lot of people understand the walk, and the same goes for gambling, all that. So yeah, we navigate that. We navigate the stigma that's labeled. Where it's tied to it. There's a lot of stigma. People think that people made a choice to become this way. Nobody wants to be this. Nobody wants to live like this.
Well, this September and every September is National Recovery Month. So I think it's a wonderful idea that Sage's Army is represented on this community affairs program so people can understand the resources that are out there. You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm here with Carmen Capozzi, the founder of Sage's Army, and his director of operations, Janice Olson. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about the programs and resources that they've put into place. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Classic Hits 107.1. Listen live at WHJBFM.com.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy, here today with the founder and operations director of Sage's Army. Established in 2012, they are a recovery community organization. It's a nonprofit, and since September is National Recovery Month, I thought it was a great idea to have them on the show. So, Janice, you know, so much time and effort was put into place to try to create a funding source for these recovery programs. And really what you're doing is filling gaps, right? You're filling gaps with families, filling gaps with people who are now out of rehab and trying to integrate back into the community. Why don't you tell us, what do you think one of your most successful programs has been thus far?
Well, I will personally like to say that our rec night is a big thing that we created. You know, that was created about 18 months ago. That was definitely my idea because, you know, people enter recovery and they do a lot of treatment. And then they're doing a lot of meetings, and it's just all seems like so overwhelming because consistently talking about, you know, what my problem is, what I'm struggling with day to day, that like they forget, people forget that they're alive and what can I do to do something different than talk about it. So Rec Nights was created where we like go out and we do volleyball, we do cornhole, we have pizza, and it's not about like talking about, you know, this is my problem. It's just about having fun, doing something pro-social. If you're interested in playing at like one of those sports, getting your heart rate and getting your natural endorphins running and just having a good time. I mean, last Wednesday was our last rec night and we had 59 people in attendance.
Wow.
I think that's really big. We actually pick up the men's, there's a men's halfway house in Youngwood. We actually pick some of those guys up in our van. That wasn't something I mentioned earlier, but we have an 11 passenger van. We provide free, no barrier transportation rides back and forth to our center, to our rec nights, to some of our meetings. So we pick those people up. We have other treatment providers that come to that just to come and experience what it is to like live in recovery and not have to do, you know, utilize drugs and alcohol to have fun. That, you know, there's 59 adults, some of them are children, 59 adults that are coming, and like there's no drinking, no drugs, and we are laughing, we are having fun, we are having a blast. So I think that that's a really great, really great time. I'm a person that's in long-term recovery. I have over 12 years in recovery. So it's a passion to start something like that because we do fill in the gaps because treatment ends. But recovery does not. Recovery is a lifelong thing. And being a part of a community that cares about your overall well-being is crucial for your recovery capital to remain high, to maintain and achieve long-term recovery. I am a living proof of that, being a part of something that make, and I tell individuals all the time, whether it's you're not speaking to a counselor or you don't like the traditional 12-step based meetings, being a part of whether it's you know, it's a library, you know, or it's going to a yoga class or it's a gym and you're joining like a spinning class in a gym where you're just around different women or men that make you, that care about your overall well-being, something that you have connection, because connection is really big for any human being, whether they have substance use disorder or not, and just being, feeling welcomed and like someone cares about your overall well-being is huge. So I think that that's something I really love about us. I mean, I love that we offer free peer support because everything that we offer at Sage's Army is free. No one, it doesn't matter if you have insurance, you don't have insurance, you make good money, it does not matter. It's all free. So everything that we do is free and is awesome. But I think that that's been like our biggest our biggest hits, where people just, you really see people having a good time. I mean, like, our meetings are great. People come to our meetings, you know, our one-on-one, you know, recovery is great, but you know, everybody's wanting and willing to want to come to these rec nights. And it's just really powerful to see the community coming together and helping support each other. And like I said, it wasn't just 59 adults. There were people that bring their family. I have children. I bring my children. I bring my husband to that event. So it's like a big community family time. And I think it's great to bring my children there because, you know, my children don't really know all of like what Sage's Army. They know that, you know, Carmen lost his son Sage to an overdose. They don't know I'm a person in recovery because they, you know, or younger than my recovery, you know, than my recovery time. But I think it's great that my children are at an event with adults and they see that there's no drinking and no drugs. That is prevention at its finest. They might not know that they're going to prevention, but they are being around prevention, going to those events, seeing that you don't have to have an adult and use drugs or drink alcohol at a picnic to have fun. They see a bunch of adults having fun with no substances or chemicals involved. And I think that that's just really powerful.
Carmen, does it give you hope when you hear about how successful something like a rec night has been?
Oh yeah, it's amazing. Like, there's nothing like, we have rec nights and I have men coming up to me, thanking me for having this event, shaking my hand, hugging me. You know, it's beautiful. And to hear their stories and to be able to be part of a solution, you know, a light for them that they can live differently and get connected to resources in our county. Because that's what we do. Like Jan said, we're a connector. We connect people to hope, to life again. You know, and we have our families from the family group come out. You know, some of them, their children or their loved ones, I should say, not just children, it could be their spouses, but you know, they're still running. And so these families are like, I can't help them, but I can be part of a solution, you know, and enjoy their time. So I love it.
Wonderful. And you know, when you see all of these resources come to light, you found the money, you found the right people, you've hit your niche in some of these gaps. How do you think life would be different if this would have existed when Sage was still around?
Well, yeah. So in 2006, there was an article that came out, and I think we had like 30 overdoses in Westmoreland County. And our Detective Marcacci was interviewed in it. And, you know, nobody paid attention. He was screaming as loud as he could, we have a problem. We are on the path for an epidemic, you know, and no one was listening. And I think that was 6 years before my son died. Not saying that they could have saved my son, but if we would have had something like this that would have educated me or gave my son a different type of avenue to walk, he might still be here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, and really, even the family resource as well. You know, that really hits home with me because I think how lost you must have been at that point and, you know, not knowing what to do. I think your comment about kicking people out and this being the only disease that we do that really hit home. And I agree. And, you know, to be able to provide those resources for families so they understand how to assist with addiction recovery, I think is so important. So, Janice, any other stories that you want to highlight? And certainly you don't have to mention anyone specifically by name, but any success stories that you want to share with us today?
Yeah, I mean, I can mention one by name because he works here now, but there was an individual when I first started working here who I took on at that time. I was the CRS supervisor here, but I took on to my caseload because, you know, like I said, I'm a person in long-term recovery, so I am a certified recovery specialist as well. So I took him on, and we worked together for a while. He did really well. And then, you know, he completed the program. He was doing good. And then when we were going to purchase our van, we were able to get some grant money for it, but not all of it. His mom, this was after he's already completed the program, this individual's mom donated $10,000 to the organization. Didn't know what we were going to use it for, but it was like a blessing in disguise because we had so much money for the grant. And then this 10,000 made it possible to purchase this 11 passenger van. So we, you know, get the van and we have all of our staff, our CRS staff trying to, you know, maneuver. This van became a big deal. You know, Westmoreland County does not have the greatest public transportation. So like, I mean, we're giving 95 to 100, like free transportation rides a month here. So like our staff were trying to navigate. It became overwhelming. So I'm like, we found some grant money that we had that we weren't utilizing that we were able to hire a van driver. And then we go, you know, I start searching for a van driver, and this individual who didn't know any, like, you know, he completed the program, we didn't know we used that van, comes and applies for the van driver position. And now he is our transportation coordinator, van driver. So he was someone that went through our program, successfully completed, also helped start our, like our life recovery meeting. It's one of our meetings we host on Friday nights at our Irwin location. So someone that like loved what Sage's Army was and was like, I want to be a part of it. Like he took that to the fullest extent he could possibly do it by, you know, helping me start a meeting here that I wanted to have a Christian-based 12-step meeting here just because that's something we didn't have here. So he helped me start that. And then also his mom did eventually donate that, which I said, he didn't know we used that for the van, but then come be a van driver. And now he is committed and he is a great, he is always accessible to move his schedule around because needs are different for meeting times in the evenings. And he goes to all of our events. So I love to share him as a success story because it's, you know, it's great. We have many others, but his is very powerful. And, you know, just to see his passion in helping people in recovery and picking up the guys at the halfway house. You know, we take the halfway house guys to the grocery store once a week because they don't have a van. Just he's just completely committed to giving back to the community, people in recovery, and then also giving back to Sage's Army. So I think that that's, you know, really awesome. Really cool to witness.
We have about a minute left, Carmen. How can people connect with your organization? What are all the ways that they can find you?
They can, our website, www.sagesarmy.com. And our telephone number is 724-863-LIFE.
5433.
It's a wonderful way to connect. 24/7. Wow.
Yes, anybody can call that number at any time and you'll talk to a recovery specialist.
Wow. And so you can help them. So you can help them no matter what stage they're in, right? I mean,
yes.
No treatment, post-treatment, 5 years post-treatment. You can be there for them.
Yes. Yeah.
I think if you jump on sagesarmy.com, you can see the list of services, the support group meeting schedule. You can get signed up for the newsletter. You can figure out how you can get involved, how you can donate, any questions you might have. Head to the Facebook page, Instagram, YouTube. These people are super connected and they have to be because they want to be there for the community, fill those gaps, make a difference. You all should be so proud of all that you've accomplished because I am well aware that the overdose rate is, it can be scary, but you are making a difference. So thank you very much for what you do, Janice and Carmen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been wonderful to talk to Sage's Army. As you know, September is Addiction Recovery Month. We want to make sure that people understand that that addiction awareness is here in September and Sage's Army is a great resource. So please reach out if you can. You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Thanks for listening.